Introduction. Overwhelming obstacles. In 1805, England had a problem. Napoleon had conquered big chunks of Europe and planned the invasion of England. But to cross the Channel, he needed to wrest control of the sea away from the English. Off the southwest coast of Spain, the French and Spanish combined fleet of 33 ships met the smaller British fleet of 27 ships. The well-developed tactics of the day were for the two opposing fleets to each stay in line, firing broadsides at each other. But British Admiral Lord Nelson had a strategic insight. He broke the British fleet into two columns and drove them at the Franco-Spanish fleet, hitting their line perpendicularly. The lead British ships took a great risk, but Nelson judged that the less trained Franco-Spanish gunners would not be able to compensate for the heavy swell that day. At the end of the Battle of Trafalgar, the French and Spanish lost 22 ships, two-thirds of their fleet. The British lost none. Nelson was mortally wounded, becoming, in death, Britain's greatest naval hero. Britain's naval dominance was ensured and remained unsurpassed for a century and a half. Nelson's challenge was that he was outnumbered. His strategy was to risk his lead ships in order to break the coherence of his enemy's fleet. With coherence lost, he judged, the more experienced English captains would come out on top in the ensuing melee. Good strategy almost always looks this simple and obvious, and does not take a thick deck of PowerPoint slides to explain. It does not pop out of some strategic management tool, matrix, chart, triangle, or fill-in-the-blank scheme. Instead, a talented leader identifies the one or two critical issues in the situation, the pivot points that can multiply the effectiveness of effort, and then focuses and concentrates action and resources on them. Despite the roar of voices wanting to equate strategy with ambition, leadership, vision, planning, or the economic logic of competition, strategy is none of these. The core of strategy work is always the same: discovering the critical factors in a situation and designing a way of coordinating and focusing actions to deal with those factors. A leader's most important responsibility is identifying the biggest challenges to forward progress and devising a coherent approach to overcoming them. In contexts ranging from corporate direction to national security, strategy matters. Yet we've become so accustomed to strategy as exhortation that we hardly blink an eye when a leader spouts slogans and announces high-sounding goals, calling the mixture a strategy. Here are four examples of this syndrome. The event was a strategy retreat. The CEO had modeled it on a similar event at British Airways he had attended several years before. About 200 upper-level managers from around the world gathered in a hotel ballroom where top management presented a vision for the future: to be the most respected and successful company in their field. There was a specially produced motion picture featuring the firm's products and services being used in colorful settings around the world. There was an address by the CEO accompanied by dramatic music to highlight the company's strategic goals: global leadership, growth, and high shareholder return. There were breakouts into smaller groups to allow discussion and buy-in. There was a colorful release of balloons. There was everything but strategy. As an invited guest, I was disappointed, but not surprised. A specialist in bonds, Lehman Brothers had been a pioneer in the new wave of mortgage-backed securities that buoyed Wall Street in the 2002 through 6 period. By 2006, signs of strain were appearing. U.S. home sales had peaked in mid-2005, and home price appreciation had stopped. A small increase in the Fed's interest rate had triggered an increase in foreclosures. Lehman CEO Richard Fuld's response, formalized in 2006, was a strategy of continuing to gain market share by growing faster than the rest of the industry. In the language of Wall Street, Lehman would do this by increasing its risk appetite.